Good evening. I'm Ron Esposito, and this evening we'll be in conversation with bassist Joe Policastro, and we'll be talking about his trio's latest release, Nothing Here Belongs. Held by Downbeat for its deft analysis of choice repertoire and by the Chicago Reader for its diversity of approaches to all kinds of source material, the Joe Policastro Trio returns with its fourth album, Nothing Here Belongs. Nothing Here Belongs, for the first time, showcases the trio's captivating body of original music, while also including characteristically bold arrangements of songs by Bruce Springsteen, The Talking Heads, and Santo and Johnny. Joe Policastro, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Joe, I really have enjoyed listening to your latest release, Nothing Here Belongs. In fact, man, I'm really gassed about the original compositions that are on this recording.
Well, thanks so much.
Hey, you want to tell us about some of the original compositions and maybe some of the cover tunes that are on this new recording of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. Just general background of the band. We're a Chicago-based group. I'm a Cincinnati native. I've been in Chicago for 15 or 16 years, and this band was kind of born out of this steady gig we have at this place called Pops for Champagne. And when the group was really, we started taking it real seriously, and it was kind of developing its sound and its approach. It started to gain traction with our adaptations of music sort of outside the typical jazz realm. So anything from rock and pop music to movie and TV stuff and things like that. But the band's always had a very healthy repertoire of original music. Up until now, though, all the records have actually focused on some of the more project-oriented things, like the West Side Story Suite or a movie and TV album. We did an album of all jazz arrangements of pop tunes. So with this one, we really wanted to focus on the original music, but then also sort of keep some of the things that people who are familiar with the group know about it.
You know, your group includes drummer Michael Avery and guitarist Dave Miller. And, you know, at times when I listened to the new release, I was kind of reminded a little bit of the Gateway trio that Dave Holland, Jack DeJohnette, and John Abercrombie had.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. Now that's a new one for me. It's always so interesting seeing what people hear and, you know, versus us knowing sort of what our primary influences are. But that's great. I mean, yeah, all of those, especially with Dave's sort of guitar approach, you know, which he's got, you know, he can go from having a very classic jazz sound to then dialing in all of these more progressive sounds or even rock-oriented or surf kind of sounds. And he does it all through analog amp manipulation. There are no pedals or anything. That's all just turning the dials. He's sort of a master at that. But yeah, I think at times you'll reference these different musicians like an Abercrombie or a Gabor Szabo or, you know, some of these different progressive players.
Yeah, and actually you make a good point, Joe. As I was listening to the record, it was like, hey, this guy isn't using any guitar effects or pedals. It seems like he's just plugged right into the amp and great tone, and we're getting the sound of the amp, and there it is. So it's interesting that the guitar, yeah, has a pretty pure tone.
Yeah, it does. I think one of the interesting things about seeing the band live, I mean, and I think this, of course, comes through on the record, but, I mean, it's a real visual group in the sense that because there's such a heavy focus on, like, the arranging aspect of the music and the orchestration is the way I like to put it, you know, when you get to see the melody being passed between the different instruments and you get to see Michael's weirdo drum kit and all the auxiliary percussion and hear the different guitar sounds and then even just the way in which he's getting these things. And same for the bass, you know, switching between the stuff on the bow, so the arco parts and all these different techniques that we'll use, you know, you really get to kind of visually see the orchestration at play.
Well, you know, Joe, that's a great term that you use, orchestration, and particularly in regard to playing in a trio, because, man, you got to be coming up with stuff or else it's just played ahead, you know, blow for a while, play the head, and you're out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Head, solo head. Head with rinse and repeat, you know. And not that there's anything wrong with that kind of format and stuff. But, one of the interesting things that's also happened with this group is a lot of people see a trio, and especially a guitar trio, and they expect it to be quiet, or they just expect the energy level to be, you know, only up to a certain point. And, you know, we've been playing a lot on the festival circuit, and, you know, when it started, we were always getting the early slots because, and we would get done, and people would say, this band creates so much sound. We should have put you at 7 or 8, you know. And that's something I really appreciate about it, is it goes from like a scream to a whisper. I love the sound of the guitar, the bass, and the drums together. But more than that, I think there are so many just untapped ways of orchestrating instruments and using these alternative techniques to get a different approach. That's why I call it an alternative jazz trio. It's not just that we play different material. It's sort of presenting the music in a different way.
Yeah, and, you know, when you hear your group, what you've just said really comes across because, you know, you guys have thought about this, obviously. And one of the other things is you guys are a real band. You guys play together all the time.
That is true, for better or worse, you know.
I hope it's for the better when you're here in Cincinnati.
No, actually the three of us love playing together and we get along great. And it's just kind of a funny thing sometimes when you're together for long stretches, you know. The two comments I think we get most of the time is just about the sound of the band, you know, and just how varied the textures are and how big the group can sound. And then also how people really respond to not only the original music, but the adaptations of music. Like sometimes when you're hearing jazz arrangements of whatever, be it a pop tune or something, they can get pretty cerebral and boring. And not even boring, it's just like the piece on which they were basing it doesn't matter anymore. They've slapped so many different chords on top of it and stuff that the sound of the original song isn't present. And, you know, we take a left turn on a lot of the adaptations, but I like to think that the DNA of the song is always present, and people always comment on that a lot.
Well, Joe, you're right on the mark there. Like the first track on the new record is Springsteen's I'm on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you just described it. You can still tell, holy macaroni, they're playing I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen, and it still remains true to the composition, and at the same time, what you guys are doing inside of it is pretty cool, particularly because it doesn't sound like there's a jazz chord, quote-unquote, in that whole song.
Yeah, on that one, I mean, we really tried to even keep almost all of Springsteen's original changes on it and tried to let the jazz sensibility, you know, obviously has a different beat on there than the Springsteen groove, but it was like taking these different elements of the song and applying them to the different instruments and then using aspects of different parts of the tune to inform where the solos were or where we were going to, you know, open up and things. Because, you know, jazz is such a big word and it involves so many different things. You don't have to have, quote unquote, jazz chords to have jazz. You can have a jazz approach on something. And sometimes we do take a tune and blow it out with more, quote unquote, jazz chords and things. But, you know, I think, like I said, it's the DNA of the song that needs to be you work with first.
So what's the process of you guys working a tune out? I mean, I'm going to assume it's a combination of everything. Something comes about in the moment. Some parts are thought out, and we're going to do these kicks, et cetera, et cetera. What's the process like?
Because we're fortunate to have this residency in Chicago. You know, we play every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at Pops for Champagne, which is, you know, right in the center of downtown Chicago. And that place isn't a listening room per se. It's not that people don't listen. It's just not set up with like a stage where the whole room is focusing on you. You know, I tend to bring in the majority of the material. You know, we'll bring something in and I'll kind of show the guys what I have in mind. You know, maybe talk to them ahead of time so people have a chance to kind of learn the melody and be strong on those aspects. And I may have very particular things that I want to try and get to, but I I like to leave a lot of space for those guys to put their stamp on it, because I could write all this stuff out, but invariably they have such strong musical personalities, it's better to kind of let them find their part within the framework. So sometimes we play it, and the first time down, like the Springsteen one was really interesting. The first time we did it, we're like, well, cut and print. This is great. We don't need to do anything to that. Other times, like there's a Talking Heads cover on the album. That one took us months. I even thought about abandoning it at some point just because it wasn't taking shape the right way. And then all of a sudden, one night, somebody will do something. You're like, wait, you know, we have this way of communicating non-verbally where people are like, stay there, let's try this, let's experiment, you know. And then when you're done, you can kind of say, that was it, that's what we're going to aim for next time. And then that kind of continues to blossom. We like to think of the arrangements as having these very fixed points, but there's a lot of open space and even some free improvisation on a lot of these.
Well, you know, playing in a trio context enables a lot of this to happen. Is that true?
Yeah, but, you know, I think that honestly it's more, you could do it in a larger ensemble, it gets more difficult the more people you add in, but the key is really the chemistry aspect. That's something that you can't manipulate or manufacture.
Well, the chemistry aspect then would come from the fact that this is a real band that works together all the time.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, brother, I can't wait to hear what kind of chemistry you guys are cooking up on Friday, April 5 at Cafe Vivace. We've been in conversation with bassist Joe Policastro talking about the Joe Policastro Trio latest release, Nothing Here Belongs. More information about the Joe Policastro Trio can be found on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Ron Esposito.